I'm running late, but I was here. It just you couldn't see me. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. That's right. Oh, would I be wrong to say what a wonderful morning? Yeah. it's just a wintertime wonderful, right? A wonderful winter wonderland. Well, I want to thank all of you for being here. I know the weather, anticipated weather for today and the rest of the week, is not looking just really pleasant. But I hope the incentive to be here, in addition to me, is the chili cook-off after services. I think if we need anything to not only warm our tummies, but to add a little spice, I think the chili is an appropriate food for today. So I think we're all looking with bated anticipation for the cook-off. Okay, before we get started, let's open with a word of prayer. Will you bow with me? Almighty God, we are so very thankful for you. Father, at this time, we recognize your holiness. We recognize as best as we can, as humans, your greatness, your majesty, your awesomeness, the fact that you are the Alpha and the Omega, at least within the boundaries of our understanding. Father, we stand before you with confidence, but with attitude of reverence and humility. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being the true and one and only God. As we walk this life as Christians, we do so knowing that you are with us, that you provide a sanctuary, that we look to rest under the shadow of your wing, that we can call upon you to lend us your ear, and that as individual Christians and as a collective body of Christians, that as we assemble two or three or more, petition you that you will be with us. Thank you for your love, for your compassion. And thank you for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has been the perfect example, the perfect sacrifice, who provides us a mediator in heaven. And through your ultimate wisdom, Father, you have given us the Holy Spirit here on earth. Help us to be attentive as the Holy Spirit guides us through our walk of Christianity on this earth. As we continue our journey through the Scripture, both collectively and our own individual study, that we will continue to learn and grasp from the Word that which we need to overcome the temptations of the devil. We ask prayers, Father, in behalf of all of our brothers and sisters who are struggling with illnesses, with physical ailments related to a number of causes, and for those who continually ask for your help spiritually. As we get up every day, we thank you for letting us rise, but we also go ask you to strengthen us and prepare us for another day of spiritual warfare. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love. And thank you for the guidance that you provide in this wonderful book, our Bibles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to thank Donnell's not here, but I did thank him. And I was able to watch his class last week. And so as we make that transition from putting on our armor, oh, there's the man of the hour right now. There you go. As we put on our armor, as Donnell shared with us last week, prayer is the reinforcement we have to take on Satan. We can be Christians. We can have the full battlement and the full armor of God on. But if our hearts are similar to what we see reflected when Jesus calls out Judas, we can still be in danger. So to help eliminate that from happening, God has given us the avenue of prayer. And through prayer, we develop a more intimate, a closer relationship with God. Through study and through knowing who God is and His Son, through the Scripture and being in the Word, we develop that intimate relationship. So that not only is our armor, our body of armor, strong and polished and shiny, and it's been repaired and it's ready to go again for another day, but we have the support of prayer to give us that additional strength, to get us to where we are today when it comes to battling Satan and taking on his minions. So as we are more complete, there's a couple other things we'll talk about in the next 4 weeks, which will make it a complete kind of like today's Abrams tank. By itself, it's formidable. But in the collective, utilizing all the other methods to create a much more complete tool, air support, intelligence support on the battlefield, and all these other devices and all these other things are fed in to a computer, and they link the tank with aerial intelligence, with ground intelligence, with other different batteries of defense tied in together. So it's just not the tank by itself, because they are and can be vulnerable. And like our armament, all of these things will eventually tie together, and we'll know that we are as completely protected and ready for battle as God wants us. So prayer is a key part. The Holy Spirit will be another one, and that's one of the additional items we'll talk about within the next 4 weeks. But bringing us down to today, I wanted to take a step, a moment, to see that now as Christians, with our armor, with the avenue of prayer, the ability to talk to our God, communicate with Him directly, let's see how that was handled when it comes to historical events. The spiritual warrior. Oh, Randy, can you take me down to, I think, 45? Slide 45. Okay, and then I think I could get it from there. Okay, thank you. So again, our verse, our key verse for this class is Ephesians 6:12. So we're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to look at some scriptures there. Deuteronomy 6:4-7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." It doesn't say the Lord is two, or the Lord is somebody that you may want to build over here out of gold or silver. The Lord is our God. He's talking to the Israelites. Love your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. There's only three on this one. Are we missing another one? So let's continue to read. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. That's the Christian talk today. Our talk should not be Christian talk just when we're here at church. Our talk should be Christian talk anywhere and everywhere we go. Not just at home, but our talk should be Christian talk when we're at work, when we're at school, when we're out shopping, when we're filling up our tank at the gas station. It doesn't take much to say, hey, nice day. You know, break the ice somewhere and just throw something out there. Man, the Lord has blessed me today. I'm doing good and I'm having a great day. How are you going? How are things going with you? Our thought process should be including God all the time. And I do know with reason that the more you are in here, the more intimate your relationship is with God, the more natural that talk is. And it's not difficult. Mark 12, 29, 30 says, the most important one, and he's talking about the new commandments in the New Testament. The first one is, Jesus said, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. So there's another one in there. And we talked about those earlier. Our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Those are the four areas in which Satan is going to try to attack us all the time. Continually, pounding and pounding and pounding, wearing us down. Wearing us down so much that if we aren't strong and rock solid in our faith, he's going to flip us. And before you know it, we're subjected to his authority and not that of God. And age is no respecter of person. And that's why I always ask, you know, back, you know, if we're retired now, have we just kind of gotten comfortable and retired or maybe semi-retired from Christianity? Because we've hit that bell and we've gone, we've made it this far. So like I said, this isn't to point the finger and self-criminate. It's just to say we still have to be on guard. We still have to be at the ready. We still have to have our sword in our shield, everything ready to go. Even a Roman centurion, when he was off duty, he had a smaller sword in his belt. And he always knew where his spear and his shield were in the case he had to go back and get it rather quickly. But his mentality was he always had an awareness. He always had a situational awareness about him. That's the way we need to be. So, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Satan's appeal to mankind. He is going to take those four main categories and he's going to create a world which makes everything involved in that desirable. Because not every one of us have the same susceptibility to sin. My susceptibility, pasta, bread and butter, good food, cold meatloaf sandwich, good bowl of chili. Others may be something, you know, totally different. May not be that big a deal. And then you go from those to the big swing of the pendulum to the other side, where now we're talking about sins of the flesh. And of all of the biblical verses I see, that is the biggie. Because sins of the flesh deal with our physical senses. Our hearing, our seeing, our smelling, our touching, all of those things. And the devil knows that. And because of that, if we show a weakness in any one of those, man, he's going to drill and drill and drill and drill forever and ever until he flips us to his side. We've got to be ready. If we're aware of our own individual weaknesses and we can continue to fortify and strengthen against the wiles and the penetrations of the devil, we're going to make it. We're going to see our reward, because God tells us, true and faithful servant, take your place in heaven. So not as all lost. Where there's hope, there's encouragement. And with the edification of other brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be stepping high and stepping strong, because we are on the right team. So Matthew tells us, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, false witnesses, and blasphemers. How many of us here today have never encountered one of these things? And it's all around us. If we've fallen short and have committed one of these, what do we do about it?
Repent.
We repent. Heartfelt. Not just, you know, hell, I made a mistake today, I better say a little prayer and ask God to forgive me, and then 3 weeks down the road we do it again. This is repentance. This is heartfelt. This is exposing yourself to God and saying, I'm sorry, I messed up. Next time, help me get over this. And through the prayer, asking for strength to get through that, I got a chance. God knows our heart. And he knows when we're asking for forgiveness the right way. The devil's going to do everything he can to turn us away. Mark 7:20-23, and he said, and this is in red, so you guys understand, I'm sure, that this is Jesus talking. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of your heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, the evil eye, blasphemy, pride. Pride. Has anybody ever had trouble with pride before? It's tough. It's tough. Foolishness and all these evil things come from within and defile a man. Did it say anywhere that these things are something you can go check out in the library and then use it as you please and then go check it back? No, it says within, which means that our heart, our mind, our soul, even our strength, are vulnerable. If we don't challenge ourselves to be strong, and for a moment we let our guard down, zap. Can you imagine? And I want to throw a little humor in there, because this could be a subject. But if we had something in God's infinite wisdom that he put in us, I know when I was a kid, we had these little wind-up buzzers you could put on your finger, and they had a little button, you shake somebody's hand, and it kind of jolted. Maybe just in God's humor, the moment we stepped on that link, we just kind of like, oh, where'd that come from? You know? Just to give us a nudge to say, okay, you're getting close. You're at that crossroads. You're going to have to decide, right or wrong.
Like,
it's a struggle, isn't it? It is. Jim? Right. They may not be blinded or enticed by what that individual is. That's right. And that's why this, I feel this class is important for me to share with you guys. We're at an age now where we're probably more likely to fit that mold of being a Nathan to our younger young families, our younger junior Christians that are kind of that college age. They're not married yet, but they're stepping out there. And sometimes the encouragement from other individuals rather than moms and dads, aunts and uncles, family, can have a little bit more decisive impact, can leave a little bit more of a lasting impression. Because I don't think Cindy's here. I hope she's not watching. But lately, I find that as she engages me in conversation, you remember the little peanuts, Mom? And it won't be 3 or 4 minutes later, I'll say something, and she'll just laugh. She goes, I was just talking to you about that. You know? So I think we get so used to those people around us, our immediate cluster of family, that if somebody steps up and says something outside that circle, it's like, wow, I heard that. Wow, that makes sense. Wow, they're looking out for me. So that's my encouragement with us being in this class, is that even though we're retired from Christianity, we're not, because now we've pretty much fought the good fight. We're still fighting, but now we can share some of that wisdom. Now we can be a mentor. Now we can be a guide, or just a voice of encouragement to somebody who we see in a situation or a place that we've already journeyed through. That's why we need to still be alert. Jim? Anybody else want to comment on that, about the temptations?
Well, I can't. But I didn't have to. Well, I mean, you can only do so much. We try to keep her from the lure.
do. You do.
Well, a further comment on what I was saying, it's not just my job as a parent to put these blockades in front of these influences, but it's the discussions that we have to have with them.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing. I don't know. I grew up with a couple of relatives. There, and you guys are probably this way too. There was no specific discipliner in my family. I was susceptible to everybody 15 days older than me and up. Is basically, you know, my aunts, my uncles, or neighbors, you know. If I got out of line, somebody called me on it. In the mix of that, every once in a while you would hear somebody go, I told you to do that because I said so. I think if we do that as Christians, we're doing a disservice to whoever we say no to. But if we back it up, Tom, and we say, okay, I'm saying no, but based on the wisdom and the experience of that I've had, reinforced by the scripture, then it not only gives an answer to the person going, why did they say that? But it also gives credibility to you as a parent, to you as an authority, one of authority, and to the church, to the scriptures. So now we have reinforcement through the scripture. Now that individual learns respect for his elders, for authority, and for God's word. And it also gives them something to kind of chew on for a little while. Why was that not right, Larry? It's kind of evolved even more. Yeah.
I don't I wouldn't look forward to raising young kids in this day and age.
It would be tough. I saw a little blurb one day. Something about a child was getting scolded. And he went and called 911 on his parents.
Yeah.
And guess who got taken to jail? I mean, really? I mean, yeah, so that has evolved. I mean, like you growing up, I didn't know I had I could go time out and say, well, I got a question. You know, I just know if I heard it the first time and I didn't react, I got in trouble. And I knew that we were at a time where we were to be seen and not heard. And there wasn't anything wrong with that. That's just the way we were raised. Yeah, it's like, I just did one mistake, but I got four spankings, you know? So, but that's what we have to consider, and it's a lot. But if we're in the Word, we're less likely to get confused and lost in the direction that we need to go, and we can be the kind of Christians that we need for each other and then for our younger brothers and sisters in Christ. So Satan's appeal to mankind in Deuteronomy, we're told to love God with all our heart, our soul and strength. And this is just paraphrased to get through. Mark, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Matthew, the heart and mouth can defile the Christian. One of those senses, one of those moments that if we're not careful what we say, it can hurt, despite what the little rhyme says about sticks and stones. The things within us that come out of our mouth or in the nature or the example that we set reflects our true nature. How we act, how we talk, how we treat other people. I mean, all of those things that we can see visibly as somebody else, if it's contrary to the walk of Christ, somebody's going to see it. Somebody's going to see it. Ooh, pardon me. So I talked about going back in history. So let's go back. And we're going to go way back. We're going to go way back to a person. Y'all recognize who this is? Did it come out pretty good? Samson. Yep, Samson. How many of you, since you've gotten, let's say, out of college age, have had a adult class on Samson? Can you remember? Haven't we pretty much relegated the story of Samson into our adolescent classes? And how have we characterized Samson to our little boys and girls? I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but we talk about his strength. We talk about how he was chosen by God before he was even born. We talk about some of the good things about Samson. But have you ever talked about the dark side? Have we ever talked about the adult side of Samson? Because you see, again, out of many examples in the Old Testament or in the Bible itself, men who walked with God struggled with being focused and walking that narrow path. And sometimes we characterize them in our Bible stories with kids and our young little ones coming up as heroes, as people chosen by God, as ones who've had these great strengths and these talents and these abilities. And that's fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with those. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to encourage. But I think where we drop the ball, we leave it at that. And after we get into our age of accountability and maturity and we start to grow as Christians, we never see another story about Samson. We might have something mixed up in a sermon or kind of added, you know, in a class, but nothing specific. They did. Okay. You do. Okay. Well, good. So there has been some exposure to that. And that's good because, as Paul Harvey said, wasn't he the one that said, and now the rest of the story? Yeah. So you're probably wondering, how in the world are you going to get this to work for our class? Samson, he was one of God's judges. He was one of Israel's most remembered Bible figures. But due to Satan's endless pursuit, combined with man's or his specific weaknesses, pride was one of them, lust of the flesh was something that was additional, Samson tragically wasted and squandered his life away. Now, does that mean he did or didn't have a benefit in all those years he lived? That's where we apply this to where we are today. There are people out there, and there are Christians, that they've decided to volunteer to become a Christian. They've been baptized. They've risen. They've gone through that process of taking in the milk to where they are matured and they nurture into the meat of Christianity. But somewhere in their heart, they just couldn't separate themselves from those desires and those turmoils within our soul. Now, the thing is, God has a plan. And sometimes this is difficult for people to understand. But God uses us as a tool to do His work here on earth. Just like God chose Samson, He used Samson, and even in all of his weaknesses, throughout his life, and especially to the end, God used Samson for God's design and purpose in His overall plan.
God?
Yep. And they thumped on the Israelites pretty good at times, didn't they? They sure did. And so, when we look at Samson, they're right now in the process of God handing over them the promised land. Did God hand them the promised land within a year? No. It was a period of time. It was a long period of time. It was an incremental steps. Boom, boom, boom. One reason is because Israel had been wandering in captivity for how many years? And so it was just a little bitty band of individuals. And you had these other seven occupiers of the promised land that for hundreds and hundreds of years have been conditioned to be warriors. And their numbers collectively as seven occupiers of this land greatly, greatly outnumbered the Israelites. So God says, I'll hand you this land, I'll give it to you, and I'll give it to you in steps so that you have time to grow and strengthen, to occupy, to be able to provide for yourselves, and then we'll go to the next, and the next, and the next. And the thing about this is, and just so you'll know, what we don't finish now will continue the story into next week. There are specific guidelines and instructions that God gave His Israelite armies. When they went in to occupy a land, what did they say? What did God tell the armies of Israel to do? Okay. Okay. He didn't go up and say, okay, you're going to come up to the Jordan River. In 100 yards from the Jordan River coming east, that's going to be the demilitarized zone. That's neutral territory. You get 4 leaders out of the Canaanites and you take your 4 leaders out of the Israelites. You're going to come up there. You're going to sit down. You're going to congratulate each other and say, man, this was a good job. It's been a long fight, but now it's time to call quits. Let's shake hands and let's share this land together and enjoy peace and harmony forever and ever. Is that the way it went? No. God was very specific. How many of you know what it meant when it came to the difference of God's temple and the difference of the temples of these other inhabitants when it came to spiritual worship?
You know, Brother Todd, we may not see it to that level, but even when you go out and you talk to someone about the will of God, you know, that spirit in you, which is, you know, should be of God, it boggles certain people. And you start to see their rejection and their fight against you. And it's similar to what you're talking about now, not on that level,
And by human nature, not all of us are warriors or have a warrior spirit. Sometimes we have to develop that. We have to work hard into even comprehending what a warrior spirit is and what it means. And as God prepared the Israelites to take these lands, because of their ungodly, godly worshiping, I mean, some of them had prostitutes in the temple. And if you read the history and you know what was going on during their so-called religious activities, they had a statue that was a very large statue. I think it kind of looked like a bull or something. It had its arms outstretched like this. At the height of their worship, there would be people behind this statue. It had a big cavity, and they would be building a fire in this statue. So much so that the outstretched arms and hands would almost be white hot. And so to please their God and to ask for favor on behalf of their God, they would sacrifice their children. The male child, the male baby child, was the most prized. And they would toss this child up into those hands. I can't even imagine the horror, you know. And that was an acceptable practice for those individuals. God says, when you take over this land, you go through and you basically exterminate these people. Because there is nothing about their life, there is nothing about their practices that in any way will benefit you as my child. Ladies and gentlemen, it is no different today. When we go out into the world, that we have our armor, and we're not out there to parade around, look at me, mine's bright and shiny, and boom. We're out there because we are just as much susceptible today as they were back then. Why do you think it is suggested as much as you can that when our children marry, they marry within the same faith? It's no different than what God was talking about back then. He didn't want any opportunity or any room for influence into the life and the practice that God has set before his people, his chosen people. And we see Paul's battle with that today in the 1 Corinthians, in his teachings against the Ephesians and the Corinthians. You had Jews converted. You had Gentiles that were converted. And they just couldn't let go with everything. And they tried to bring in some of those practices, some of those traditions that they were familiar and comfortable with. That's where we've got to draw the line. And some say, well, that's not very encouraging, because here was a guy, Samson, like some of the other men in the Old Testament that were chosen by God, and they failed miserably. But they didn't have Jesus Christ. They had God, but the best they had were blood sacrifices at the end of the year. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what makes us different today. That's what gives us hope. That's what allows us to get on our knees and ask for forgiveness, a heartfelt request for forgiveness and repentance, so that God can bless us, forgive us, and we can grow from that wisdom and go from there. Okay, we'll continue this next time. Thank you for your attention, and you guys have a good rest of the day.